We'll continue our sharing on First Peter.
今天我们继续彼得前书的这个分享。
First Peter chapter 2, verse. Today we're reading from verse 18 to 25.
今天我们要阅读的是彼得前书的二章十八到二十五节。
I'll be reading in English. 看华语的你们可以看 PowerPoint.
让我们来看大屏幕。
Slaves.In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? For if you are suffering for doing good and you endure it, it is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example.That you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd.And overseer of your souls. Now let's begin with the elephant in the room, since it's almost impossible to avoid it.
让我们先从一个古老的话题来谈起，因为我们不能够避开不谈。
And that is the topic of slavery.
那就是关于奴隶的话题。
Now the fact is that the Bible does not directly condemn slavery.
事实上呢，圣经没有直接的谴责奴隶制度。
Now, I know that when I say this, some of you might think that, but there are some mitigating factors to defend the Bible. But let's not go into them first. We'll come to that later.
当然会有一些其他的因素来影响我们如何看圣经，但是我们稍后再谈，现在我们先实事求是的来谈。
And so we will start by first calling a spade a spade.
所以我们来一步一步实事求是的来看。
And that is, first, we see that Jesus himself,Actually spoke nothing against slavery.
其实耶稣并没有说他要反对奴隶制度。
And most of the biblical writers also encourage submission for the slaves.
而大多数的圣经作者呢，要鼓励，要顺服。
And for thousands of years, whether it is for the ancient Jews or up to the whole Western Christendom, slavery was accepted as part of human society.
从几千年以来呢，就从古的犹太人到西方的基督教，其实呢，奴隶已经被接纳为人类社会的一个部分。
And even until when we come to the 18th, the 19th century, when the debates in the UK and US on this issue started to get really heated up,
在十八、十九世纪的时候，在英国和美国呢，就关于奴隶的这个问题呢，已经升温。
Passages in the Bible were used both by the pro-slavery advocates and also by the abolitionists who struggled to support their respective views.
在拥护奴隶制度的人们，还有那些想要废除奴隶制度的人们，同样都要用圣经的经文来支持他们各自的观点。
But now, if I may be precise, actually, for the abolitionists, those who want to abolish the slavery, they had actually struggled.To use Christian teachings to support their point of view.
事实上，更准确的说呢，那些想要废除奴隶制度的人呢，他们很难从圣经里面来找到一些经文来支持他们的观点。
On the other hand, it was the pro-slavery advocates who were the ones who could use Bible passages like today's passage in a so-called very straightforward manner.
反而是那些想要拥护奴隶制度的人们，他们能够非常容易地从圣经经文里面来直接引用，来支持他们的观点。
Now, however, in this day and age, unless you belong to some extremist group like the Ku Klux Klan, none of us would think that slavery will be justified or even to be in line with our Christian faith.
然而在今天这个时代呢，除非你就像刚才小辉牧师所提到的那种 3K 的那种极端组织的人，那么否则没有人呢能够认为说奴隶制度是合理的。
If I may be presumptuous, none of us will look at a passage like this today and think that it can be applied in a straightforward manner.
不过或许我们有些武断，但是像今天的经文这样的，我们想我们不能够直接了当的去应用它。
We will immediately think that such a passage, surely the Bible cannot be condoning slavery here.
当然我们认为说我们的圣经真的也不是能够纵容这种奴隶制度的。
And therefore we'll be aware that in interpreting and applying such a passage, such a text, context will matter.
这样就说明了说其实在解释和应用圣经的方面呢，那么我们回到当时的处境就非常的重要。
And if we had a time machine and if we could travel back 100 or 2000 years ago to the huge debates on slavery or back to the American Civil War.
当然如果我们有一台这个时间机器的时候，我们就能够追溯到在几百年以前所发生的那个关于奴隶的一个大辩论，或者是一个美国的南北战争。
We will be perplexed with all this well-meaning Christians who interpreted these slavery passages very literally.
我们就会惊讶说，为什么在当时的那些善良的基督徒们呢，确实从表面意思呢来解释圣经经文的。
I believe for many of us, we'll be thinking, isn't it obvious that these passages were meant to be contextual?
当然，从我们今天的人来看，当时的人们似乎是这么容易就去从直接意思来翻，他们应该从当时的处境来看的。
Now, brothers and sisters, no.It is not obvious.
但是弟兄姐妹们，其实不是这样，在当时的时候并不是那么显而易见的。
Brothers and sisters, it is not obvious.
弟兄姐妹们，那并不是在当时是显而易见的。
It is not meant to be obvious to begin with.
在最初的时候呢，并不是很明显的能够看出来的。
It is only obvious to us because we all suffer from this thing we call the curse of knowledge.
今天我们之所以能够这样子来看，是因为我们都经历过一个叫知识的诅咒这样的一个过程。
The curse of knowledge is a cognitive bias that leads better informed parties to find it extremely difficult to go back and think about problems or from the perspective of those lesser informed parties.
知识的咒诅是一个什么样的事情呢？知识的咒诅其实是一个认知上的偏差，它是在于你当你懂了的时候，你就很难再回去到你不懂的时候的那个状态的认知。
Simply put, once you know or you understood something, unless you suddenly suffer from amnesia, it is impossible for you to go back to the world where you once didn't know.
简单来说，就是一旦你懂了的时候，你除非是你失去了记忆了，否则你是很难回到当时你不懂的那个时候的感知。
The perspective of the formerly not knowing is now alien to you.
之前呢，其实你不懂的时候，那个时候所持的观点呢，到现在已经忘记了。
Therefore, we are always faced with one particular situation due to this curse of knowledge.
因此呢，由于这样的一个知识的咒诅这样的一个情况呢，我们常常会遇到一些特殊的状况。
And the situation is that whereby it is always rather obvious to us which passage is meant to be straightforward and in application and which passages are meant to be contextual.
对我们来说，我们面临的就是哪些经文呢，到底是可以直接拿来就用的，而哪些经文呢，是不可以这样的去应用的。
This demarcation always appears straightforward and obvious to us.
有些经文呢，可能就非常的对我们来说很明显的，要我们来直接拿来就用的。
Some passages we would use it straight, very straightforward because of our blissful ignorance.
有的时候我们把一些经文直接就拿来用，那是因为我们的无知。
Other passages, due to the foresight of knowledge, it will naturally lead us to approach it contextually. Oh, so now I know this, therefore it must be contextual.
关于有些经文呢，是因为我们已经储存了一些知识，所以我们就自然而然的会想到我们要回到当时的处境去诠释这个经文。
So, brothers and sisters, let me say again, this demarcation of which is meant to be which, it always appears obvious to us.
其实呢，就是我们弟兄姐妹们，如果我们来分辨这样的经文的话，其实有的时候并不是那么显而易见的。
Our mind works like a flowing water, which instinctively will just choose the path of least resistance.
其实呢，心灵呢就像一个流水一样的，然后它会很不由自主的、不知察觉的，然后去选择没有阻力的那一种方式。
However, is it really as obvious as you have thought?
但是果真是像你想象的那么明显吗？
Therefore, my challenge to you today is this.
我给你今天的挑战是
Knowing the history of interpretation throughout the years, the centuries of all these slavery passages.
在过去的关于几千年以几百年以来的这样的一个关于奴隶制度的诠释。
And what now seems obvious to us wasn't really obvious to those in the past, or even just 100, 2000 years ago while they were having the huge debates.
在今天我们来看来很明显的东西，其实在几百年或者几千年以前呢，并不是那么明显的，而是经过一个很大的争论的。
My challenge to you today is this: Can we continue to be so certain of our abilities to demarcate which is which, and to demarcate the biblical application, biblical interpretation for application?
我今天给大家的挑战是说，那么我们今天还能够这样的明显的去看到哪去看，并且和分辨这个经文哪些是显而易见，能够拿来就用的吗？
Can we be so certain to say, oh, this one, yes, this one is for direct sermon application?
我们能够这么容易的就说，哦，对，这个经文呢，就是可以直接拿来用的。
Oh, that one is obviously for contextual usage.
哦，那段经文呢，它其实是要回到当时的处境来应用的。
Can we continue to be so certain?
我们能够这么的确定的吗？
Or should we therefore be painfully aware that actually this demarcation was never meant to be obvious all along?
还是我们应该意识到，其实这样的一个分辨呢，分辨经文的这样的一个过程，一路以来呢，就是不容易的。
That all along we were under the influence of our current scope of knowledge, or even under the influence of the prevailing attitude of towards morality of our society.
其实我们的判断呢，是基于说我们已经现有的一个知识层面的认识，并且呢，也是受到周围的这个社会环境道德的影响。
And therefore, all along, we have demarcated overconfidently, and we were oblivious to our inner bias.
我们其实有时候我们过度自信的去做这样的判断和分辨，我们忽视了我们内在的偏差。
Now, if this demarcation is not as obvious as we think,
如果这样的分辨不像我们所想的那么明显
，and yet we must strive to obey the biblical principles for daily living.
那么我们如何能够在日常的生活当中来活出这样圣经的准则呢
？How can we tell to know which ones are the ones that we will apply a moral text contextually, or which ones are the instructions that we must use it directly？
哦，我们能够如何来分？那么我们将如何来分辨说哪些经文呢？我们是要从道德的层面去诠释的，而哪些经文呢？我们是要直接按照圣经的指示去做呢？
I would like to share a personal tip towards this matter.
我想今天来小辉牧师今天想要分享一下他有关这个的看法。
I believe that actually all biblical teachings are actually contextual.
我相信呢，所有的圣经经文呢都是有处境化的。
Even the ones that you think were really straightforward, like "Thou shalt not kill" or "Love your enemies," all these were actually contextual.
甚至你认为那些看起来很明显的经文，比如说不要杀人呢、啊，要爱你的仇敌这样的经文，都要回到当时的处境去看。
They are all contextual.
他们都是处境化的。
From the laws and the commandments to the wisdom writings and advice like the proverbs.
从这个律法和诫命到智慧文学，然后再到像箴言书这样的劝告。
Or even if it's Jesus' own sayings and teachings ofOr the sermons and exhortations from the apostles in the letters.
甚至呢，就像耶稣的言论和教导，或者是保罗书信之类的一类书信里面的这种劝诫。
They are all contextual in nature, no exceptions.
他们都是要回到当时的处境的，没有什么例外。
They are meant to be understood with a very particular situation in mind.
这就意味着我们真的是要明确当时的处境。
And any form of application into today's context will require careful consideration.
在今天的这样的环境里面，我们要做任何形式的这样的一个应用，都要回到当时的处境。
And if we, I think that if we only have this level of humility,
如果我们呢，要心存谦卑
，I believe that we have resolved many tricky issues, for example, like slavery.
我相信呢，我们将会能够解决一些棘手的问题。
Like whether it is slavery or women ordination or even homosexuality in a very positive manner.
或者是奴隶有关奴隶制度的，或者是女性是否能够被案例，或者是同性恋都能够以积极的态度去解决。
But I've chosen this all contextual approach not just for conflict resolution purposes.
那么我们来处境，我们来选择这样的一概处境化的一个处理方法，并不只是为了去解决那些棘手的问题。
I actually believe that such an approach actually preserves the spirit of the biblical word even better than just directly applying it.
而是我相信呢，如果我们用这样的一个一概处境化的方法去处理经文，那么我们就会抓住那个圣经话语的这样的一个灵魂，然后同时呢，我们就不会把这个经文直接拿来就应用。
Actually, when God's words speaks,
事实上，当上帝的话语向我们说话的时候
，whether it is through the prophets or the apostles or even through Jesus himself.
无论是透过这样的先知或者是使徒甚至是透过耶稣本人
When God's word speaks is a creative word that aims to transform
其实上帝的话语都是一种创造性的话语它的目的是要转化人心
Last week Reverend Chan said that this transformation this word that transform that is salvation
上个星期的长安牧师提到这样的一个转化的作用呢其实就是救赎
The ability to transform the situation or a perspective or an attitude, all this will hinge upon proper comprehension or understanding of the given word.
其实对这样的一个经文的一个一个情况或者是观点甚至是态度的这样的一个一个能力都是取决于对经文本身的理解。
And therefore, because it must be understood because it must be applied, that word therefore must be contextual in nature.
因为我们是要拿这段经文来放在今日的处境之下呢，然后去应用，所以我们必须要回到当时经文的处境。
When we make moral absolutes out of all these words, we have freeze the spirit of transformation into very outdated forms.
如果我们把道呢是看成一些非常绝对化的道德教训的时候，那么我们就会是用一种过时的形式来冻结将要转化的精神。
They become instructions and teachings to preserve the conservative view and remain status quo.
那么道呢就变成一些指示性的和教训，只是维持一种守旧的状态。
They no longer becomes a prophetic calling to always shed new light into the darkness.
他们不再是一些先知性的呼吁，是要把新的光来照在黑暗里。
And sadly, when we use it this way, when it's given a different context of new times and new people, the word can no longer serve as a salvation anymore.
如果我们是用这样的方式的话，那么这些经文呢，在今日的处境当中呢，将失去它的效力。
So today, in the same way, I will be using the contextual approach to look at today's passage.
那么今天呢，我将会用这样处境化的方法来看今日的经文。
I do this not because slavery is no longer popular.
我这样做并不是因为奴隶制度不再普遍。
But I strongly believe because that is the way in which we are told to hear its voice.
因为我认为呢，是这样的一种方法呢，才能够真实的聆听到经文本身的声音。
And when we listen, oh, what a revolutionary voice it is.
当我们去聆听的时候，我们就能够听到多么革命性的一个声音啊！
When we think about the past, slaves in ancient literature, they are not usually treated like normal human people.
在古代的文献里面，奴隶通常呢，并不是被看作一个正常的人。
Whether it's because of their disconnection from the normal social obligations,
他们与正常的这样的一个社体的关系呢，被切断。
Or their lack of family ties.
他们并没有一个家庭的关系。
Or their prohibition from public space and their suppressed legal position.
他们被禁止呢进入公共的场所。
All this meant that normal human virtues and vices were not expected of them.
那么这些所有的我们正常的人的一些正常的关系呢，都没有在他们的身上体现。
But when we read the passage today, we see that Peter is actually speaking to them as full ethical agent.
但是我们今天来看的时候，彼得对这些奴隶所说的话呢，是把他们当作一个正常的人来说话的。
Peter is speaking to them because he feels that they have full ethical understanding, full ethical virtues.
彼得当时对他们这样的说，是因为他认为奴隶也是同样的跟正常人一样，拥有自由和理解。
They are placed in the same moral plane as the rest of all the readers of the letter.
然后在这个奴隶呢被放在所有的被放在与书信的 读者呢放在同一个道德平台上面来衡量。
In short, in a world which views slaves as properties or as things, Peter is speaking to them as a full person.
简而言之呢，就是说彼得把这个当时的奴隶呢是看为一个整全的人来看待的。
And this is a voice that I feel is ever more relevant today.
这个就是当时的经文的声音，所以也能够联系到我们今天与今天的生活息息相关。
You are not a statistic, you are not just a statistic in a manpower headcount.
你并不是在一个人力统计的一个总人数的一个数据而已。
You are not purchased because of as a function of your productivity or even as a function of your talents.
你并不是因为你的生产力或者是因为你的才能而被买断的。
You are a person with the dignity of choice.
你是一个有选择、有尊严的人。
Especially in the way that you should be managed.
所以呢，你也应该这样的被别人来对待，或者是被别人这样来管理你。
So Peter, in speaking to these slaves as full ethical agents, tells them that they have to make two interrelated moral choices.
所以呢，彼得告诉这些奴隶们说，你们应该做两个关于道德的选择。
And the first choice is that they have to choose to do good.
第一个选择是，他们必须要选择行善。
Now what is doing good?
什么是行善呢？
It is not a complicated matter. It's just think of it very simply. In general, it just means to do what is good for the general welfare of others.
简单来说呢，其实这个行善呢，并不要把它想得那么的复杂。简而言之呢，行善呢，就是要做对他人有益的事情。
And as a worker, you have to do good to the boss who owns you.
作为一个工人，那么就自然的要对雇主呢，然后要去做一些好的事情。
It simply just means.Good deeds or even good quality work.
意思呢，就是说你要有好的行为，而且要做好你的本职工作。
Peter also lists out the reverse, and the reverse will be doing wrong, faults, mistakes, or even by deliberately sinning against others.
彼得呢也说出来有关他相反的方面，相反的方面就是你犯错，犯一些错误、过错，同时呢，甚至呢，你犯一些蓄意犯一些犯罪。
You would think that such a moral choice to just do good.You would think that it is common sense.
这样的一个道德选择呢，看起来呢，好像是一个一般的常识。
Until you realize that actually that's not what most workers think.
但却不尽然，并不是每个工人都会这么去想的。
Some people would think that since you are paying me peanuts, then I'll just give you monkey work.
有些工人就认为说，因为你付给我钱了，所以呢，我就看在钱的份上呢，为你工作。
Oh, that's a kind translation. Some people will feel that, well, you're the boss anyway. I have to listen to you anyway.
有些人呢，他认为说你，因为你是老板，所以我就应该听你的。
I'll just do whatever you say, even though I know that it will not turn out well.
或者是我就不管那个结果是，即使我知道结果不好，我也会听你的。
Now I understand that sometimes, yes, we work because we have to pay the bills.
我理解呢，有时候工作呢，可能仅仅是为了赚钱来付一些账单。
And I understand that sometimes you're being viewed or being treated in that way as well.
而别人也许是这样来看待你和对待你的。
But you are not just a worker.
可是你不仅仅是一个工人。
The revolutionary voice here is that you are a person with the precious value of a moral choice.
其实你是一个具有道德选择的一个人，是有宝贵的价值的人。
And Peter is saying that even if you are a slave, you should also choose to be doing good. This choice of doing good, that is the precious thing.
彼得说，即使你就是一个奴隶，你也应该选择行善。
There was a little boy who went to a drugstore and he asked for a phone call.
一个小男孩呢，走进一家店里面，他想要打一个电话。
The shop owner replied that yes, but you can only make one call.
店主回答说，你可以的，但是你只能打一个电话。
And then, the shop owner observed and listened to the conversation.
那么这个店主呢，就观察着这个小男孩的所行所为。
So this boy called, dear lady, can you give me the job of cutting your lawn?
这个小男孩呢，就打电话说，夫人，你可以让我来割你家的草坪吗？
The woman replied, "Sorry, I already have someone who to cut my lawn."
这个妇人回答说呢，不用了，因为我已经雇了人。
"Lady, I will cut your lawn for half the price of the person who cuts your lawn now," said the boy.
这个小男孩说，妇人，你只需要呢付给我，现在给你割草坪的那个人的一半的工钱就可以了。
The woman responded, "No, I'm very satisfied with the person who is presently cutting my lawn. No, thank you."
夫人回答说是不用了，谢谢你。然后他对他割草坪的那个人呢很满意。
The little boy then found more perseverance and offered more.
小男孩呢就继续坚持，并且自我举荐说
"Lady, I will sweep your curb. I will sweep your sidewalk. And on Sunday, you will have the prettiest lawn in all of Florida."
夫人，我甚至可以清扫你的路边那些人行道呢。你将会在拜天的时候呢，会看到整个全佛罗里达州北棕榈滩最美的草坪。
Again, the woman answered in the negative.
夫人呢，又拒绝了他。
With a smile on his face, then the little boy put back the receiver.
小男孩呢，面带笑容的挂了电话。
Now the shop owner was listening to all this.
一直留意在听这个对话的店主。
He walked over to the boy and then said,
他走到这个小男孩前面说
"Son, I like your attitude.
孩子，我喜欢你的态度。
I like that positive spirit, and I would like to offer you a job.
我喜欢你的积极，我愿意给你一份工作。
Then the boy replied, "No, thanks."
然后小男孩说不用了，谢谢。
Actually, I was just checking my performance with the job I already have.
我只是想证实一下我现有的这个工作的表现如何。
I was the one who is working for that lady that I was just talking to.
我就是那个夫人所提的为她工作的那一个人。
And so for Peter, the work of doing good and the having the value of this choice to do good, all this has actually been transformed by what he saw Jesus did.
对于彼得来说，行善和抉择，这样抉择的价值呢，永远都是由耶稣来给我们的。
And Jesus, in his defense, he said in John chapter 5, he said, "My Father is always at his work until this very day." And Jesus said, "I too am working."
约翰福音的五章十七节，耶稣呢对着敌对他的人说：“我父做事，直到如今，我也做事。”
What is doing good?
什么是做善事呢？
God works in his creation and then he says he sees that it is good.
上帝呢完成了创造的工，然后他看为是好的。
And in the same way, Jesus worked. He worked until it is finished.
同样的，耶稣呢他也是工，他将他的工作进行到底。
Peter is actually giving a higher calling to the slaves in telling them that they have to be doing good in their work.
彼得呢，其实对当时的奴隶的发出了一个更高的呼召，希望呢他们在工作当中能够行善。
Yes, he told them to be submissive to their masters, but he didn't say that to be submissive to their master in order to preserve a very stable slavery system or to just do it because it's a very good moral virtue. No.
当时呢，就是彼得叫这些奴隶们来顺服他们的主人，并不是为了维持一个稳定的一个奴隶制的体系，而是要行出好品格。
He do it because out of reverent fear of God.
他们的行善，为什么我们要行善？是因为要敬畏神。
We do good because that is who we are, and we do good because that is who we choose to be.
我们行善是因为我们的身份，是因为我们选择这么做。
And so the first moral choice that Peter asks of them is to choose to do good.
而第一个道德的选择是你要选择去行善。
The second moral choice is to choose to do good even if you have to suffer unjustly for it.
那么第二个道德选择是即使你为了行善而要忍受很多的苦楚，但是你仍然要选择行善。
I call it the choice to do good anyway.
我把这叫做什么呢？叫做无论如何都要行善。
Isn't it natural we think to receive praise and appreciation for a good work and a good job?
因着你的工作表现好，或者你因着你有一份好的工作，然后你得到别人的羡慕或者是称赞，不是理所当然的吗？
Yes, if you are lucky, most of the time that's what you will get.
是的，如果你幸运的话，的确如此。
But in life, it doesn't always work out that way.
但是生活却并非如此。
Then how?
那怎么办呢？
The choice is to still do good anyway.
这个选我们的选择是无论如何都要行善。
Now some of you may have heard of the paradoxical commandments that were written by Ken Keefe.
我们当中可能有些人听过关于肯特基斯所写的一个关于是非而是十大戒律。
And these paradoxical commandments, if you have read it, is an inspiration to many around the world.
其实这个是非而是的十大戒律呢，已经感动了全世界的很多的人们。
As I was reading it, I expected to find the words, you know, to do good anyway. And it, true enough, it was there.
当我读的时候呢，我期盼看到这句话，无论如何都要行善。
But I was still surprised because that is the line that was actually repeated twice. So all of the anyways, that this do good anyway, actually he repeated it twice.
但是令我惊讶的是，这个句子呢，只被重复了两次。
So these are the two lines he says, if you do good,People will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives.
这两行里面所提到的是说，如果你去行善的话，可能别人会认为说你有私心的，或者是你别有用心。
But he says, do good anyway.
但是不论怎么样，无论如何都要行善。
The good that you do today will be forgotten tomorrow.
你今天所做的好事，可能明天就被别人忘记了。
But he says, do good anyway.
但是无论如何都要行善。
Now for Peter, he needed no better justification than simply the example of Jesus once again.
彼得所说的并不是要我们能够得到一个非常公正的对待，而是很简单，我们要效法耶稣就行了。
The good that Jesus did, we can imagine, it is the good for all mankind. It's the best good that can be.
耶稣所行的善呢，是对全人类都行善的。
But yet we know he suffered for it unjustly.
但是我们知道他自己本人却遭到不公正的对待。
Despite that, he committed himself all the way until the end.
但是尽管如此，他从始至终都献上了他自己。
And he did it without retaliation and without threats.
他并没有去报复，而且他受害的时候并没有说过恐吓的话。
Now, in our calling to do good, we might suffer unjustly.
当我们蒙召来行善的时候，我们有时候也会遇到一些不公正的对待。
But the choice for us is to do good anyway.
但我们的选择是无论如何都要行善。
Now when we look at the word anyway, we might think that that is kind of a helpless resignation.
当我们来看这个词汇无论如何的时候，好像似乎有一些无奈。
Yet it is anything but this.
但是其实不是。
It is not resignation.But actually, hopeful courage.
这不是一种无奈，而是一种无所畏惧的气概。
It is courage because we are actually entrusting ourselves to Him who judges justly, our God.
因为我们把我们自己呢交托给了那位公正审判的主。
We do not waver in the face of worldly injustice towards the good that we will offer because we know the final judgment lies with God.
让我们在面对这个世界的不公义时不要动摇，仍要行善，因为我们知道最后的审判是在上帝的手中。
It is not resignation, but actually recognition.
这个呢，其实不是一种无奈，而是一种认可。
We know that work is ultimately meaningless if we do not know the purpose of this work.
如果我们并不知道工作的真正意义是什么的话，那么迟早我们的工作将失去它的意义。
But now we know the purpose.
但是现在我们要知道它的意义是什么。
Because in reconciling our being to God, we are living and working for one purpose.
当我们与上帝和好的时候，那么我们无论是生活还是工作，都有一个意义的。
We live for righteousness.
我们活着是为义而活。
And we work in tandem with the overseer and shepherd of our souls.
我们的工作，我们要去工作，就是要与我们灵魂的牧人同工。
And this is therefore the revolutionary voice that I hear in our passage today.
这就是我从今天的经文里面所听到的革命性的声音。
Truly, slavery is a very systematic and legalized form of dehumanization.
真的是奴隶制度呢，是一种呢被系统化、合法化的非人的制度。
A slave is the property of his or her owner.
一个奴隶如果是一个男主人或者是女主人的一个财产的话。
And as property, he could be ill-treated, physically or sexually abused, and exploited in 1,000 different ways.
作为这样的一个财产的话，那么奴隶在身体上面会受到虐待，而且呢是在性方面也会受到虐待，也许会以这种数以千计的方式遭到虐待。
We'll look down at our noses at such a world. We cannot imagine such a world.
当我们来看看我们的周遭，我们会看到真的是我们不敢想象我们的周围的世界。
And yet, but without realizing that actually many parts of today's so-called free Western society, there are still many people in virtually the same position.
在今天呢，所谓在标榜的一个自由的这样的一个世界里面，西方的一个社会里面，仍有类似于像奴隶这样的人的存在。
Often hidden from view, they have to work long hours for minimum wages.
我们也许看不见，但是他们却常常的在暗地里面。在我们看不见的一些角落里面，常常呢工作很长的时间，却只能够领到微薄的工资。
They cannot take time off. They cannot look for other jobs.
他们不能够去休假，他们也不能够去寻找另外一份工作。
They may have families to support, and to lose even a single day's of wage, and they might lose their job, or to lose their job, it might be disastrous.
他们真的是有家庭要养，如果说今天没有赚钱，或者是失去了这个工作，都对这个家庭来说将是灾难性的。
And so they are stuck.
所以呢，他们也没有办法。
They are slaves in all but name.
他们真的是奴隶。
But whether to the slaves in the past,
那么无论是那些过去的奴隶
or whether it is to manywho are living today as well,
还是今天生活在今天的这个世界里面的奴隶们。
In this revolutionary voice, Peter has given them something truly precious.
那么彼得呢，这样的一个革命性的声音，给了他们一个宝贵的话语。
And that is the dignity and the self-worth to all who believe.
那就是他们要相信他们是有尊严、有价值的人。
And this is what it means by a new birth for us.
这就是关于重生的真正的意义。
When we work, we can choose to do good because that is the work of God.
当我们去工作的时候，我们可以去选择行善来去做我们的工作。
And even if we have to suffer unjustly for it, we will do good anyway.
也许我们会遭到一些冤屈、一些不公正的待遇，但是我们仍然要选择去行善。
For that is who we are, and our faith and faith will lie in God.
那是因为我们的身份、我们的信仰和命运都仰赖神。
When Colin was planning for this worship, he asked me what is the theme.
当我在准备这个讲章的时候
Colin 在准备这个崇拜的时候
Colin OK Colin sorry OK 当 Colin 在准备这个崇拜的时候
He asked me what is the theme of today's sermon
他来问小辉牧师说今天的主题是什么
He likes to call people boss 老板
他喜欢来叫人们说老板
So I replied, God is your boss, work hard.
然后他回应说，上帝是你的老板，努力工作。
And I think that sums it up. God, we have God as our boss, and this is why we work. Let us work hard.
真的，上帝是我们的老板，所以我们要好好工作。
Let us do good and do good anyway.
让我们来行善，无论如何都要行善。
Let us pray.
让我们来祷告。